August 20th CPARB meeting to order, if we can, please. Roll call, please.
I'm Ed Favio.
Here.
Everybody, yeah, for the record, he's on virtually. Annabelle Nunez?
Present.
Keith Cohen?
Here.
And Carlos Puerto.
Here, sir.
You can come in 10 minutes. It's for quorum purposes. It's,
we have a quorum for
these two.
Terrific. Okay, terrific. All right, so item number two on the agenda is the approval of the legal action report and the minutes from the June 18, 2024. Thank you very much, Annabelle, for taking the time in the absence. Have you had an opportunity, has the board had an opportunity to review the legal action report and the minutes? Would you like to make, anyone like to make a motion to approve?
So moved. I move that we approve the legal action report and minutes of the June meeting.
Thank you. Do we have a second, Jaime?
I'll second.
It's like he's talking.
Yeah, I'll second. Says.
Can you hear me okay?
We can't hear him.
Hello.
I have my volume up.
It's like he's trying to sleep.
Okay, how's that?
I mean, if you can hear us, if you can just put a note in the comment that you approve, please.
I would, but the chat is turned off.
I can barely hear him on here.
The chat is turned off. Not legal. It's not allowed, right? Oh, okay. Can you hear him?
I can barely hear him.
I'm like, yeah, shouting over here.
I may give us just a second, please.
Oh, all right. Difficulties. Sounds good.
Everything's on. Everything's on.
We'll just be the speaker levels.
Yeah, it's fully.
Can you hear me now here?
How's that? Is that better?
Asking with them. Hi, Matt. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, yeah. Can y'all hear me?
This is on.
Hello.
They're all on.
Hello. Can y'all hear me now?
If you want to log out and log back in. I know sometimes it's fixed it in the past.
All right, I'll do that.
I don't even know if it's recording at them. Ima, can you hear us? Ima.
There
we go.
How's that?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Okay, cool. Am I second? I second the motion.
Jaime Tadeo?
Yes.
Ana Padunias?
Yes.
And Keith Cohen?
Hi. Thank you. All right, so item number three, a report from the chairperson. Well, it looks like we're getting a little closer to having you on the board officially. So Ward 3 has appointed you, and you just need to complete Carlos Portillo's a few more hours. And thank you so much. We're looking forward to having you on the board. And I think, Angela, you have someone that you would possibly be bringing in as well, or making an introduction?
Yes, I should bring someone I know who's in the Ward 6 area, and I know that Judge Payne has reached out and has spoken to Jerry Flannery, I don't know where that stands.
I spoke to Gary not so long ago, and certainly he knows what CPAR is, and he works closely with Annabelle. In spite of what she shared with him, he still was interested. He is excited. He was aware of what CPAR is and reviewed with him as well. Expectations of him as concerned as it should be, as what kind of time commitment is. He definitely was interested at that time. I don't know if you want to invite him down. I certainly have, but we missed him at his meeting or one before that. There was one meeting. Anyway, he's interested at this time in becoming the president of the advisory board.
Great. Thank you for the update. I also did see a notification from Ward 1 where Councilperson Ward 1 is seeking board announcements. So a board appointee. So that was sent out, I believe, to her database. She's seeking an interest for support. So that's really nice to see.
Yay.
Yes. Very nice to see that. So item number four is a call to the audience, and at this time, the community may address the board with their concerns. The board may not address a specific concern at this meeting. However, the board, at its discretion, may make a future agenda item, at which time there can be a discussion. Community members are asked to address the board, not a specific member. Each person is limited to 3 minutes. Do we have anyone?
You've not seen it.
Anybody says you can. Okay. Thank you. So then we'll go on to item number five, review of TPD Inc.'s investigations. And in accordance with Section 10A-88F of the Mayor Council mandate, the board may only review those charges specified in the investigation in order to comment on the fairness and thoroughness of the internal investigation and to report any concerns regarding the investigation to those specified in the mandate. So our first case is number 22-0255. This case in particular was carried over from the May meeting, I believe. And the incident occurred in May of 2022. It looks like it was assigned to the East Side Division, but there were two officers that were from one division and another one from another division. Initially, there was 20-hour suspension. Notification from the chief that he was only going to adhere to a 10-hour suspension. And I was not present at the meeting where it was postponed, so I'm going to rely on you all to give me an understanding of why it was not voted on.
Sure. I think I was at the time. It was just Jaime and I. Not that Jaime and I didn't do some thorough work, but I just wanted to have more robust conversation with the rest of the members to see what your thoughts on that were. I think just my question that sort of lingered, the impact of the decision of the chief to sort of retract what is issued by the Office of Professional Standards, and so it's a concern, to be quite frank, but I also understand the challenges of recruiting police officers and all that kind of stuff. I just wanted to hear my colleagues on the board to see if they have any other thoughts. I mean, this was a big case. It had a lot of national attention. And I remember back in May, and I was curious, Mitch, if, so many complaints coming in. Do you respond to all of those from the, well, that's a lot of work. How many in total came in for that particular case? More than 10, less than 100.
Well, I think it's probably on social media. So,
thank you for that. That's a lot of work, and I think this was settled, right? This was sued. Was the city sued on me? Was the city sued?
Yes.
And they settled out.
Yes.
The court kind of thing. So,
I did. I reviewed it. It was a lot of documents, a lot of million hours that went into this. Do share your understanding of why the suspension was cut back, but not getting into the weeds of management. It was a decision that was ultimately made by the chief.
Okay,
let me
see if I have other questions here.
The focus officer, I'm going to please Andrew. There were three, Sergeant Cole Rubius, Officer Clark, and Officer Gray. Just with the words of permission, Sergeant Pro Rubius is no longer killed. It's not a direct result of this case, but just their condition, if you have concerns about that case. As the main issue.
And no, what was interesting to me, another question about when the firearm was actually taken from the individual. So it was determined that he was not a suspect in the case for the murder, which is what brought him to their attention, if I'm correct, right? They clarified that, but then it moved into a sort of the Fourth Amendment. He saw a gun and then proceeded to get the gun from the individual that obviously breached his Fourth Amendment rights. So he took the gun and then basically ran it. Or, like, can you walk me through that and where
the concerns of the issue were? Yeah, so it sounds like, to read the report, the officer took control of the gun, ran the gun. The officer also conducted what's called a triple I. So what? Triple I, it's index.
What do you see? They suffered
database. It's a national database that shows convictions throughout the country. So if you're convicted of a crime, it'll show up in this. It's, I think they detained for 16 minutes or so while they conducted that records check. What ultimately was discovered was once the tattoos were determined to not be the same as the individual with the homicide, at that point, the interaction was alleged. So they had no cause to continue to explore whether or not he was convicted of alteration.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that they sort of described his behavior as being somewhat aggressive, and there was no aggressiveness that I saw. So, certainly that kind of thing shouldn't have been addressed with the movie. So,
as far as the grievance goes, my understanding is just Officer Clark received the election. This is how much you started to quote me to be.
Okay.
She had the 20 hours, yeah. And Officer Clark had the 20 hours.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarification.
Yes. Okay.
And then just for clarity, is it SOP, the standard operating procedure, is that you would actually take that weapon and just put it in a safer spot and then give it back to the individual in the trunk?
Yeah, conditions for officer safety purposes, we'll separate him from the gun, whether we take custody of the gun or we just leave it in place in the car or somewhere like that.
How bad would have this gone had he had a conviction? I mean, he wouldn't have had the gun in the first place, right?
Well,
because a convicted
felon
can't
be right.
Possess, right?
Theoretically, so. Yeah. If you say convicted felon, you're not as righteous or you can be a convicted felon and still be allowed to carry. That's that the scripture is not sufficient. Also, let you know that there was no major interest at first from this couple. And we found it in play, and OPS did the right thing and reached out to them and said, you guys want to talk about this? And in fact, at that point, they did. So it's pretty impressive that you know, the police made that effort on their own.
And that's a pretty impressive move, really, right? Because it could have gotten nudged by outside influences to really get behind them, and it could have gone worse in my estimation. Had there been no preemptive action by the department. Now I didn't say that. I'm just spitballing, but yeah.
There are all possibilities. It's a likelihood. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad we did that. I mean, I just think of the department, right? And that was very smart.
So would anyone like to make a motion on the fairness and thoroughness of case number 22-0255? I'm Mayor Annabelle.
Go ahead, Simon.
I was just going to make a quick comment. I mean, I really have to, I mean, going through this case, it's, it was pretty overwhelming, and I think the department handled themselves pretty well, and I mean, it was still very well documented, and it wasn't that as crazy as to follow through. It was very concise and clear, as to how everything happened. I would like to make a motion to for case 22-0225 to be fair and thorough.
Can you get a little?
Aye.
Nicole Williams?
Aye.
Keith Dalton?
Aye. Thank you. Okay, so on to case number two. Case number 22-0477. This, too, was asked to be brought forth to our next meeting. And this is with regards to loss or damaged property. And this occurred in Operation West Division. And it occurred on July. Thanks for coming to board. Any comments? This was probably me that I tabled it, right?
For further reviews with the bigger audience and other board members. But I don't know that I have big issues with this one.
This individual said that there was an officer that may have taken something.
Property. I mean, property. They took the RV, it seems to me, understanding. The gentleman was very casually kicking back in his RV, despite many attempts to get in there, the dog barked, it said. So they at least something, but they, you know, they essentially damaged property by cutting the chains to get in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, when I think about it, I'm just thinking how the guy could have had a gun immediately come around the corner and, you know, something really horrible could have happened to the police officer. So that was actually kind of interesting that it didn't seem like the officer was very careful about his safety going into it because, you know, he couldn't see the individual that was tucked away
still in bed smoking a cigarette. But that was kind of interesting. It just took me aback for a little bit. But for some reason, I guess he felt comfortable enough. He could see his feet, so he probably, I see your feet. Come out here. Yeah, he was very irritating to deal with Mr. Fox was. In that sense, he was not compliant, no compliant. But they eventually went back the next, no, that was the next thing, because they had put a red tag to let them know to remove the vehicle. And I guess there were property items in the vehicle that weren't handled correctly and stored. And so I think this is what the complaint is about. Things that might be missing. Very high price stuff. $150 for, what was it? $300 for, what was it? I might do give the receipts. These were $150. The generation was $3,500. I mean, he just gave some money. So let me put it out there. They should cost to those names. Nonetheless, I guess he can bring them to June Governors. Yeah, I'm not adding a whole lot here. This is going to work. Okay.
So I will make a motion to approve case number 22-0477. It was fair and thorough.
I will second it as well.
And Ms. Bellew?
Aye.
And Balloon?
Aye.
And Keith Jones?
Aye. You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, so item number 23-0233. This occurred in July of 2003. Occurred, yeah, 23, excuse me, 2023. And occurred Operation West Division. This was with regards to operational actions, speeding and poor driving. And the complainant contacted TPD to indicate that there was a vehicle driven by a police officer that was driving poorly and on her cell phone.
2 steps away, she could have been struck. So I think in this case, very well documented, very extensive investigative steps to find out who it was, because the complainant did not have a whole lot of details of who the driver was or what they looked like. Pretty much found Victoria as an open Pandora's box with many vehicles that are out on the road. So the fact that the investigation involved going to a quick trip and trying to get video surveillance, see who the scene, identify the individual, etc. And I guess using resources within the department like geolocation based on body worn camera and chief that
the dog. Yeah. Our body worn in the laptop.
Yeah. Amazing. Scary at the same time. Those individuals, those officers cannot stray. They will be found. And so yeah, they identified it was a CSO in training. And so my question is the training officer was also reprimanded. How does that work? Were they in the vehicle as well? Okay. Can you walk us a little bit through that?
Yeah, so both the duty service officers were in the vehicle. The chain of command sat both of them down. The supervisor had a discussion with them as far as being mindful of public safety with respect to driving. And also, it wasn't documented service officer's training records, which should have been.
Okay.
So both of those things were heavily by the sergeant. If we have a field trainer that is consistently not doing things great, then they would be approaching a very large high standards for field team.
So it's a force feeling. For driving with me. And policy and procedures. And that was for the training part. Just, yeah. I have
Okay, would anyone like to make a motion to comment on the fairness and thoroughness of the investigation?
Actually, I have a quick question. Sorry, this is just for my own curiosity. The police officers are parked usually at the cemeteries. What are they exactly there for? I know that people dig up graves to steal jewelry and all that, but is that the reason?
It gets very hot, so that the officers will park in there during the day and actually complete police reports. So a lot of times we'll have hours with paperwork.
It's quiet. They won't be disturbed.
I know three locations in the West Center where they park under trees and do their reports.
Oh, funny.
One was my house. Well
done.
Yeah.
But while building the report, if they were to see the green room, they would take action.
That's funny. You picked that up, Hyman.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion to approve on the fairness and thoroughness of investigation number 23-0233.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Annabelle Young?
Aye.
Annabelle Nunez? And Keith Cabo?
Aye. All right, case number 23-0249, failure to provide appropriate service. The incident happened in July of 2023 on the east side as well, and the complainant contacted TPD, left a voicemail, indicated that the officer did not include details about the investigation and did not leave a callback number. Any comments with regards to this case?
This one was straightforward. The body-worn camera was the piece of the tool that busted the person, not doing their thorough investigative steps. So, straightforward.
Like to make a motion?
Quick question. On the piece where the complainant says, you know, I didn't leave any information, would they not leave information on the voicemail just to protect the case, to protect perhaps somebody who might, for sensitive information, or would they have to give details?
Typically, the officer will if they call in the voicemail, but a reference by the calling, you know, unless it would be my investigation, the plea would.
Okay. It's not a HIPAA thing with the hospitals. Okay. All right. Well, there's no further discussion. I will make a motion to approve case 23-0249 as complete and thorough and fair. I'll be the one.
And I will second that.
I have a question in regards to body count. But at what point, let's say you're in the food system, you're working, at what point, or is it constant? At what point does the camera get turned on? Is it when the call comes in, or when they arrive to a call, or what? How does that work?
Sure, so if it's a priority one, the officer is required to turn on immediately in route. For a lot of times, what we were seeing initially was they would show up those priority ones. Everything's going so fast.
Yeah,
so now it's as the dispatch to those calls. If they have some sort of law enforcement related interaction with an individual, whether it's traffic stop or dealing with you or those things,
right.
If they have a regular community contact or interaction, they don't have to turn it on unless there's something going on that makes the officer feel like they need to activate it. It could be, for example, maybe dispersion of dogs, those kind of interactions.
Does it ever happen that somebody, let's say you get called to a call and you arrive and someone insists that you turn off the camera? Does that ever happen? And what do you have to do?
We'll deactivate it or mute it if they want us to.
Only because you're inside.
If they're the victim, yeah. We're the victim of the incident.
But if you're outside?
So I have a motion and a second.
I'm Natalia.
Hi.
Tom Nunez.
Hi.
And Kate Calhoun.
Hi. Thank you. Okay, so item number six is the Tucson Police Department. And in accordance with provisions of the state open public meeting law, these items that are listed on the agenda in order to allow TPD to present a brief summary of current events pursuant to the provisions ARS section 38-431.02, the board may not propose, discuss, deliberate, or take action at this meeting on any matter in the update unless the specific matter is properly noticed for legal action at a subsequent meeting. So 6A, TBD updates regarding events or developments.
So basically that we've got going TV-wise, this is the chief shakeup over the past few weeks here. Specifically, Denison has been asked of the Boise, Idaho chief place, if you've learned to avoid it.
Oh.
Assistant Chief Hall has been appointed as the Spokane, Washington police chief. Secretary left.
Wow!
This is for promoting Assistant Chief Stacey Chainer. She's going to the patrol chief spot. And he's moving to investigative services. And then Assistant Chief Mickey Peterson will move to the special services division. So we've got those executive position movement coming. We've also, you've probably seen on the news, we've had a little bit of a violent crime slide lately, specifically gun crime. Some of it centers around smoke shops and those sorts of locations. And so we're trying to work those place-based problems, specifically the smoke shops, really hard. We've also been very focused on individuals that we're seeing a repeat offender kind of thing. We're working with federal partners, it's appropriate, across the government. So those are the biggest department-wide
things. Thank you. Anything from OPS? It's not here.
Just very similar. We've had a complete change in staffing as well. We have new lieutenants. Just formally moved on to force command. Lieutenant Lizette Gomez is the new lieutenant. She'll be here in September.
Lizette Gomez? Thank you. Item number seven, Office of the Independent Police Auditor.
Just a couple of signs as well. Captain Winfield mentioned in that shift motion to approach moving on. It's not just the plan staff. We've got many new investigators, sergeant and detective. And I remember the days when someone would come in and make a complaint, and they would have to call me to try to help them. Internal training. I wanted to help bare bones in it. I forget never anything, but the important thing the first time is that they have an awful lot of Spanish people. And I'm really thrilled to see that. But it's a great service to the community.
But, again!
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. When you said interpreter, you meant Spanish to English, even Spanish. I forget. No. Yeah. Got it. That's cool. That's cool.
Okay. A couple things. Let's see. Forest Review Board kind of spinning out of control without much of a direction or focus. And that is now coming back. A lot of the players now, from Captain, Lieutenant, Sergeant, I'm very interested in bringing this back and bringing it back stronger than it was recently, because it became, it went from board between things like strikes and bar fights to exclusively officer-involved shootings. And as you can imagine, by the time anybody gets to an officer-involved shooting case, it's pretty well the paper will look like. regional task force. It's been picked over by TPD. It's been picked over by the attorneys. And so they're difficult cases to try to work and keep community members interested in being there. But what purpose am I serving was always the question. Plus, there are so many hours of buying on capital. It was overwhelming. But anyway, long story short, First Review is now going to still do some offshoots, but they're also now going to be doing some more of those strikes and dog bites that they haven't done before. And they'll have much more to add in those cases because things need to be settled, especially in those cases. Sam would have been ignored this coming back. All right, so what does that have to do with you? Well, in bringing back the Forest Review Board, one of the things they're doing is bringing back the Trangle Program, and a lot of those people I haven't been through. Some of the other folks at CPOD remember some of the training we hear, some of the legal basis for helping make decisions, as well as looking at less than lethal weapon radios available, talking about canines, how things are doing. Anyway, it was a decent program. So they're bringing that back for the Forest Review Board. I told them, you also need to extend a little invitation to CPOD. And say, if you have not already been through, go. If you have already been through, it's going to be one weekend then, sometime in October. I'll let you know as soon as we know. It's good. And for the first time, we're seeing all sides of the community on these boards. I'd love it to show up. And the larger the community board, that the presentation or representations there, I think really is better. Make sure John's here. So I'll keep you posted about the training that's coming up. Some of the other special things I participated, I taught at some of the most basic academies I had. And a positive note there, pretty sure on the class. I mean, I've been through class and put forward. You know, after the first 2 minutes, I've got people looking at me in shock. I think, you know, so they were paying attention and they were reading games. So I'm hoping that's going to mean something good. Still a ways off before they are all along the street. How long before somebody's on their own after post base? Field training and different.
Field training rentals. All 6 months at least. One.
Got it. So you're still a ways away from something like that. What else is going on? In the span of 11 days, I had 2 grandchildren.
Congratulations.
It's not good. It's been enough on you, all these guys in this room, and know that. But then they had business.
Not my life, Jim.
But they're a phoenix, and it's kept me on the road a lot. Question, what do you want to do about Jared's memory? Do you want me to reach out and have them send you a letter of interest? Or a bio on the Western Cape?
Yes, that would be great. And then we can officially invite him to our future meetings. Yes, please. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And once again, if you are in this district as a advisory board member, you'll be there and the council's exclusively for decisions. Mm-hmm. You'll have two.
I know. Is he rep? Where do I know the name?
We can meet Jim Flanner.
Jim from the South Bay.
Yeah. Did you say like a rep?
Yeah, Rep Reed. I know the name from somewhere.
He did stuff with Tom Philippon back in the day with Glasgow.
Glasgow.
My wife is a teacher at Montel or Benfield or one of the.
Oh,
yeah, one of the.
Yeah.
I actually have something to suggest. It's been a while since you've had training. And you need to. I mean, it's important to do training. I've been thinking about some things, and I have what I'd like to suggest. The city of Tucson, through the city manager's office, has a program called Community Safety, Health, and Wellness, spelled CASHW, CSHW, for short. And lots of information online, real quickly. Community Safety, Health, and Wellness program centers on meeting the needs of Tucsonans with the right work and the right hand. They have recognizing the city has appropriate resources to prevent crises related to substance abuse, health, illness, and extreme poverty. So they will go out and, as necessary, try to hook them up with appropriate services to provide substance counseling, mental health counseling, housing workflow. When I was a probation officer for a lot of years, and it's kind of what they do. They assess the need, and they try to manage resources with that need. So it's a good program. So I would suggest to you that so you can know what's out there, so they may have these types of problems, and that you have somebody bribed them or somebody who can talk to you and get them on that.
I would like that because I just see it's the homelessness is amazing in a bad way. I mean, I see people in the downtown area who then take the bus and who were in my neighborhood at night, which is at Broadway and Houghton. So I just, it's the amount of homelessness is just, that needs to be addressed.
It's not just housing.
But that's cool. That actually is related to substance abuse, and I think mental health.
Yeah.
So I certainly would love to hear from Cashew and hear what the city's doing about it, and more importantly, what the city will be doing about the homeless folks.
If I mean, look forward to this, then I expect it to do it. We had trainings in the past where they put it pretty high on the agenda so they could do a presentation and you know, to sit for the home. Are you still okay with that?
And that's for Super, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and then we got it, but yeah, we could. We got the Kate and Jason off in the same.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's about it.
There's a team of, that was working sort of strategically to address unsheltered community way before we started to see what we're seeing now. I feel like...
With TDD?
Yeah.
For sure.
Right. Has what they're doing and their approach to doing that work changed because of what the environment is like now? Because I think the unsheltered situation is different. I think people are becoming... unhoused and unsheltered for more issues, more.
And you're off the rails. I would suspect it's drugs and,
right.
and mental.
Has the approach to sort of doing the work that they're doing changed at all because of this change? And would that be worth the presentation? That's what I'm getting at.
Or COA? Yeah.
Yes.
If I may. There is the housing for that was within the city out there championing that actually could have a penetration rate. There's directly involved with the MS Foundation.
I used to work at housing and then they do a tremendous amount of work and it's by a small group of people. And if you need a presentation,
maybe we can add them to the agenda in a few months. But I was hoping to hear from the Cashew folks. And I don't know, it's a much bigger picture. I don't think anybody can make how do we impact it as a community? How do we impact the...
When you talk about the different reasons why people are homeless, why they choose or don't choose, it's humongous. It's beyond when I first started working there and we would try to go help. I was sent, as an errand to go pick up homeless people with my group, that group six. There's people who sounded so fun. No, thank you. I appreciate your help. I don't want to do that. You have $5 for beer. And it was like a clear choice. And then there were the others who didn't have a clear, history one. The reasons for people being homeless is
huge. It's huge, but it's...
I feel
like it's different. I mean,
it's
compound. There's more
mm-hmm.
to it. It's not different. I didn't know if there was sort of an assessment of now we know things are different. Fentanyl is the least, et cetera. So our approach to the work that we've been doing has been evaluated, and we now need to think about doing it differently because of those factors.
Personal perspective and just a small world that I'm about to describe. I do a lot of outreach for the homeless. I'm on the street a lot. I have a life. his lawyers, they can change it, yes. I have not seen it, but I could see a very small group of people. The interesting part, really, to the benefit of C part, the chief that's going to be here is going to be Stacey Shinger, if you could. And Stacey Shinger oversaw the law enforcement interactions between the poor and other groups with the homeless population. So she's intimately in that. I worked with her out of the Syria, the Zone Border, what's it called, out the country. She's very in tune with this. She's done a lot of work with the homeless. So if she's here anyway, as the chief's rep, it would fit very nicely with her. With the cashier, and then they'll have questions about law enforcement, but you're not going to be able to do that with cashier. But you can certainly do that. You can, as a caution, that type of discussion could be the rooms. So you can figure out how you want to proportion that.
But I thought that was my misunderstanding. So,
it's a nerve.
I have a department the mental health support in this week, and it's just two people, mm-hmm. and now I don't know how big it is. It was before, I wanted to. But that was my nice direction. People with mental health crisis, and then into shelter, and it's always changing. And the biggest way that law enforcement is wanting to build a cog of the whole system is building those partnerships with the community to do what's best for those individuals. It's like Mr. Fortuna said, if it was just one answer, we would take care of it. But there's such a wide variety of people that down on their luck, part time, full time, love it, hate it, and especially as I work downtown every weekend and in the evenings. So I see. Then you see new people come in. No, I can't. I don't recognize you. Where are you from? Oh, we got a bus from Phoenix. They shipped us down here. It's like, oh, okay, that's great. But, you know, it's a big community thing. Police is one cog. You're just realizing that I think the big thing is that mental illness isn't a crime, and being unhoused is not a crime. And saying, how can we help? And a lot of times we're the first ones that interact with them. So having those resources from the city and the community behind us to sit there and go, all right, this is the best person for you to hand them off. And so I was very proud to be a part of that and the developments and now on Ashley right past program in this unit. They've had it, of course, since I have been a part of that. But it's amazing to see them come together and finding out how uncommon that is across the nation. So I'm going to a CIT crisis intervention training conference in Indianapolis next week. And they're already talking about how can we get a community to come together? How can we get, like, and they ask, how did you do it? I'm like, we're not there, but we're definitely further down than others. But there's still plenty of work, but really is the community come together saying, what's the best for this individual at this time? And sometimes it's not a minimum. Sometimes it's not. It's just trying to spill it out. So sorry for that, but there was some last passion about it early on in my career, and I'm happy to still be a part of it.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think that you're correct. I think that folks just are content and happy to live with whomever they're with, and wherever they're living, but yeah, I'm thinking from a bigger global perspective to have kind of an area where they can reside. So is that 100 acre woods? I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's just such a huge, we can kind of convention all the different ideas. And,
yeah.
And because we have people coming down from Phoenix that have these amazing ideas of how they're going to take care of people. So I'd meet with them in Armory Park and say, here you go. This is what we want. And then you find out most of them either didn't fit their criteria or didn't. And all of a sudden, all these restrictions kick in. And there's just so many things that are stumbling blocks for people that truly want help. And then you mix in the ones that don't want help or just bad people. So it's a very difficult process to get the people the right thing, but you know, there's a lot of groups and entities that are very proud of the work they do, and they're chipping away at it, but it's, you know, at times, it's always, so to your point, it's always adjusting. There's not like,
right.
So it's constantly right. Changing, get a new partnership, this one didn't work out, and a lot. So I'm excited for next week to see what advances are in other parts of the country, and maybe something that we can bring home and say, hey, we got a new idea, let's try it, so.
Well, I certainly like to share, yes.
Sure, right here, yeah.
They're interested as well. A lot of the same ones you can bring as Ms. Lewis said, bringing Brady Champion or somebody from her show to talk about an update. I mean, Ms. Devon came in and spoke to
him. Yeah, right.
Previously. So what's happened since?
Correct.
What have you placed anybody in the house? And how many people have bought? You can ask this again, long time. So, again, you figure out how you want to run something like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, to me, it's just notable the volume of people in different areas.
It's
everywhere.
It's everywhere. And it's interesting to see them downtown and then 13 miles away.
Yeah, I see them, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, so, yeah.
Yeah, so to me, it's like, well, what drives that, right?
Like, there's a sign as well. I've seen a shift, and the shift that I see though is when the Housing First program came out, we're going to treat homelessness differently, we're going to come zone, I'm going to run 2 and 3 camps, etc., etc. Everybody, and more people than I think, I was surprised actually the number of people were willing to say, yeah, fine, let's give that a shot, you know, bring in that social work. And as time went on, I don't think that things that was here on a regular basis, I'm very happy with the results. I think they expected more. And so the shift that I'm seeing, but instead of the people have said, okay, I'm going to let you guys go with it, I'm going to be patient, I think you guys have a good idea, everybody has a good idea. What's happened now? And now I'm getting people going, please send some issues out of the neighborhood, I'm trying to get drugs, I'm trying to be smoking crack in my backyard, I'm trying to pee on it. So I'm hearing a lot more of that than they used to. So there's a shift there. That's, again, not law enforcement. And it's related to law enforcement because people expect, go free the home. Yeah, go take care of it. It's a home. That's going to be tough there.
So item number 8, superb vacancies. I think we spoke about that earlier. I know that we're going to talk to this new gentleman, Flannery, about his interest, and Ward 1 had sent out notification that she's looking for a CPARC community member. Future agenda items number 9, we can put Cashew on there, and then if we can put Sergeant Husband on there as well to give us an update, that would be great. So, you know,
that's
great. That's
what the name is.
Like, if you could formally ask them to give us an update, I mean, just a brief update of the connection.
Okay. Yeah, see, this will teach me never to stay quiet.
Yeah.
No, actually, it'd be about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, nothing in depth, just, you know, how it went, so you might think, like, what's the world looking at? So, kind of thing. So, that's fascinating. Any other comments? Yes.
Senator, just what the ad we're bringing up, we've got members in the community, just want to encourage the people to go out and continue to bring us anti-bribery members to replace those.
Yes. Thank you very much. We'll do that. Actually, or some of the community agency that you suggested might be recruiting. And I guess my question would be to the clerk's office, do you receive telephone calls for people who are interested in
the
activation?
So the last email we received was from the city clerk, and she had mentioned, I believe the report said she was individual interested. She was having to kind of figure out the process, and she kind of put a hold on it, and she said, wait for she will get a confirmation on it. So she's out of the office for another week or so, and she has that on the
So Ward 6 has spoken with somebody.
Ward 6. What are those that I'd have to go back to my email.
I spoke with this is my but she part with how it's different. She remembered.
Is this the end of the
wrestling? So she was on CPAR.
Thanks.
And then she expressed an interest in coming back. She was 8 hours. She was never done.
So, yeah, for confirmation, that was an accident. Her work site was going to be pretty soon.
Oh, she was Karen.
Also number
but she
had a call.
Great.
I think that's where we're at. Can I get in trouble here? Where is she right now? Nancy, you're in the process?
Hold on. Our incident message from City Park just kind of sort of hold off on there until we got confirmation.
Wow.
So that's kind of where it's pending.
Nancy knows the mayor of the city. I'm going to get in touch with her. Yeah, she was wrestling with how he's doing hours. I'm praying in the spirit. What's it going to be this year?
Yeah, she was on the committee when I was here. Come on, pretty early on then, with Glenn. Like I said, that was
amazing. It would be nice to see your full complement.
When we would get the packets, and then we go to the seasons. And then, yeah, you did.
Okay. All right, so it is, and if anyone wants to share anything else, otherwise we'll go ahead and make a motion to adjourn at 6:29. Okay. Thank you.
Captain's under a shake-up in the leadership.
Well,
who are you talking to, you bitch?